Kenobi Part 5 has broken the Star Wars fandom like many things in the world, and I give you my awful take and Goldman's best take. Tales of the Jedi has also had some information. We want to talk about that today. And Jedi Survivor, the sequel to Jedi Fallen Order, has a lot of cool things for us to look at, including a trailer. All that and more here on Chatooine. Well, welcome back to Chatooine, everyone. I'm Star Wars Only. I'm joined with the Goldman, which is funny.
Yo.
I feel like only me and you who do like the dual streams. If it's just two of us, I feel like if it comes down to two people, it's always me and you.
Well, we haven't done two people in a while, and Palpamemes has been AFK for weeks.
God knows how long.
Lunga's dumbass couldn't watch the damn stream or the damn episode, so he's probably busy. But yeah, that's why Lunga's not here. He just hasn't watched the episode yet. So
you remember that one stream that me and you did, and then like I think my Wi-Fi or something like that. We were talking about like some stormtroopers, like I think it was Bad Batch, but like mm-hmm. the stormtrooper version of them, the original, and it dropped. It was just you for a while. And this is before we had Chatooine as like a YouTube channel. It was only on my channel. But by the way, if you guys are watching this through Star Wars Only, we are doing this show on both channels at the moment. And the goal of this is, of course, to get more exposure to the Chatooine show. So if you guys are watching on the Star Wars Only channel, please click the link in the description, subscribe to the official Chatooine show, because to rewatch it, to rewatch the stream, you're going to have to watch it only on the Chatooine show. And then, of course, we upload it to Spotify and any place you watch or listen to podcast after the show is over. So just give us good reviews, you know, give us some good positive stuff, because I guess I'm not going to be positive in this stream. I'm going to
shit on you.
Yeah, I really feel like I deserve it at this point. People are the reactions to this Kenobi series is just today's amazing. Like, it's really nice to see everyone genuinely enjoy it, and I feel awful because I'm like, yeah, I feel awful.
I have a lot of fun when the first episodes of Boba Fett were coming out and I hated them and everyone was praising them. I didn't feel like guilty. I was just like, yeah, screw you guys. I don't know. Well, like,
I think the difference is that the Boba Fett one, it felt like a lot of people were like, it wasn't just like, oh, only you saw the errors in that. It felt like a lot of people were like, hey, this isn't really as good as we all hope it would be. This show, a lot of people, mainly this episode, everyone and their mother is like, this was so I've seen reviews saying that this was like the best episode of Star Wars TV ever. And I'm like, no. Are you kidding me?
No.
Like,
no.
The Mandalorian is a show. You guys realize Mandalorian does exist.
I think if we take out the two Mando episodes of Boba Fett, the worst episode of this series, Chapter 4, is better than any of the five Book of Boba Fett focused episodes, besides maybe Chapter 2.
My
disdain for that show is strong, so that shouldn't come as a surprise.
I agree. For me, I even feel like some of the worst episodes of The Mandalorian are significantly better than arguably the best episodes of the Kenobi series. Maybe not this one specifically, part five, but like part two and four. I mean, I think the first episode of Mandalorian's better than both of those, but that's my humble opinion. But if you guys are watching this in the stream, leave a like, leave a comment in the streams. If you're watching on the Star Wars Only one, I think you can leave super chats on that one. Maybe you can or can't. I'm not sure if we even have this monetized, but if you end up leaving a super chat, we'll just guarantee you a answer to whatever question that you have. But more importantly, please just subscribe to the Chatooine show. Follow us on Spotify, anywhere you listen to podcasts. Leave us a 5-star review. Help the show out. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about this Kenobi series. Episode 5 came out today. I've watched it 2 times now. Mm-hmm. And, man, there's a lot to go over. And it's what makes this episode unique is that it shows you so much. So I think the big thing to start off with because it is just the two of us, we have a good back and forth on this, is what did you think about them immediately showing you Coruscant, but also showing like a young Hayden Christensen or young Anakin Skywalker? Yeah. Immediately, this is where I feel kind of like a dick. I immediately cringed when I saw like the ponytail because I was like, you're really going to bring back Anakin, which, you know, whatever. We all knew there was going to be flashbacks. Mm-hmm. But you talk about like the least favorite aspect of Anakin. People say they like the prequels. No one's talking about The Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones. Definitely no one's talking about Padawan Anakin.
There's only two versions of Anakin you can show.
you can show him in the Clone Wars. I think we all expected the Clone Wars flashbacks with the long hair and everything. I feel like that would have been more mature to do. This, like, he's supposed to be 19 in this scene.
That's what I laughed at.
He looks not like we all said, like, leading up to the series, you know, Hayden looks great, man. He hasn't aged a day. And
Hayden's 41. And he's playing a 19-year-old.
Yeah, he looked awful.
He looked awful. Okay. Yes, he clearly did not look like a 19-year-old kid, but I just don't care. Like, I just do not care. You ever watch the Breaking Bad movie with Jesse El Camino? You know how
movie too, yeah.
I like that movie, but anyway. So you know how they had Todd in it, and he was kind of clearly a little larger than he was.
Clearly, boy, homeboy was like fucking Oompa Loompa in that one.
I just don't care. Like, I'd rather have, as long as Hayden Christensen doesn't look like he's 60 playing a 19-year-old, I'm fine. Could they have done some de-aging? Probably, but I don't know. I just don't care. Like, yes, I noticed that right away. I was like, yeah, that's 40-year-old Anakin Skywalker. I just didn't care. I just did not care.
I understand not caring, but for me, that's like the fact that you can even acknowledge that, like, you noticed it right away. That is what is my issue. It's like gives you the what's it called? It suspends my believability of a story of like this working out and like seeing him like that. I'm just like, oh, like it's glaringly obvious. It's like for me when I was watching The Last Jedi for the first time, and like Mark Hamill looked great, but at the end, whenever he comes out and he's doing the force projection thing, I just thought he looked like an older Marty McFly, and like stuff like that always just kind of
really
rubs me the wrong way. Yeah, I hate the way he looks in that one.
What?
I hate the way he looks in that. The haircut and everything. I thought it looked awful.
That's a weird take. That's a weird take.
It is, and it's the only, I feel like I'm the only one who's ever even said that. So
I've heard a lot of Last Jedi criticisms.
I bet you have. But no, I really didn't like the way Hayden looked in this as young Anakin. And some people were complaining about the lightsabers and the color and the lighting. I never really understood that one. I actually thought the lightsabers, it's kind of cool seeing them have so much of like a glow on the actors' faces.
What's the specific complaint? I didn't notice anything.
I've seen people say it looked kind of cartoonish or corny. What? Yeah. I would argue like Rebels has like the worst lightsaber designs, even though it's based off of Ralph McQuarrie's original. I don't give a fuck. It looks bad.
I agree. Right?
It can be original or not. It just, if I don't like it, I don't like it. But no, I thought the lightsabers looked fine, but what did you think about them doing it? And, I guess it's Attack of the Clones. I don't know if it's before or after, or even during.
You got to know this Star Wars only. He had his Attack of the Clones lightsaber. Andy.
You're right, he did. I saw that in the second time when he was handing it over, so I guess that was the was before. Yeah, it is. Yeah. how dare I not pay more attention to this? They looked bad compared to the prequels. That's how I feel, is that when you, like, man, a lot of people are highlighting our good friend Okairo, is like, he posted a picture of Anakin's smile from Attack of the Clones, and then in this one, and people are like, oh, that smile's back. He looks like a fucking serial killer.
he is one.
Yeah, he is. Oh my god.
So what are my thoughts specifically on like all the flashbacks in particular?
Because it was an integral part to this episode, it seemed. Like the relationship between Obi-Wan and Vader, it really seemed, this is where I do feel like the episode did a good job, is that it really showed how that fight, just that simple little duel between Obi-Wan and Anakin, has like a ripple effect through the years later, where it's over 10 years at this point, because I think Attack of the Clones is like 5 years before Revenge of the Sith or something like that. But anywho, three? Okay, so it's been technically a little bit around 13 to 15 years since they've had this duel, and they still are following the same pattern. And some people even noticed that they have the same style, like the way they fought in the duel is the way they fought in Revenge of the Sith. So, does that help you like this episode more? I mean, what do you think about the flashbacks in general for this episode?
What you specifically mentioned didn't make me appreciate the episode more. I loved almost every second of the flashbacks. One of my biggest criticisms of the prequels was that I never felt the relationship between Anakin and Obi-Wan. I never felt like they were actual brothers until I watched The Clone Wars. In these flashbacks, I don't know, I got the vibe that they were brothers. It was a small thing. There weren't any serious moments where they're like smiling and hugging or whatever, but I don't know, I just got that vibe. I can't specifically put it into words. You know, they were training, and so the whole point I got from that, and it really ties into Anakin's recklessness, and it's another thing I love in this series. This series is really the first time I felt like Darth Vader and Anakin were the same character. I felt like I could see Anakin in the Darth Vader suit. Because every time I see Darth Vader, I just cannot picture that was once Anakin from Revenge of the Sith and Attack of the Clones. I could just never do it. This is the first time I was able to do that in my head. Because that the way they described Anakin is just so Anakin. In terms of him being reckless, him wanting to win, him getting distracted. That just, to me, what resembles Anakin's character. And it makes more sense that when he's tuning into the dark side, that fuels his recklessness even more. So to me, that was the whole point of the flashbacks to me, just to show that Vader is still Anakin in a way, and he's still reckless like that. He still sometimes gets tunnel vision, but I loved it. Yes, Hayden looked like a 41-year-old man, not a 19-year-old boy. I did not care. I loved every single second of the flashbacks. Although I shouldn't say that. It was clearly a reused room from the opening scene in chapter one. That was like one of the first things I noticed. It was the same room, I believe. Just
a bunch of the kids. The volume and everything.
That goes into something we're definitely going to talk about, is the production value or how it appears to be in the series. So I noticed that, but in terms of the actual character moments between them, I loved it. And Obi-Wan looked fine. Obi-Wan looked like Attack of the Clones Obi-Wan. Maybe a little older, but he looked good.
He pulled it off the best. And I think that the secret for us guys is basically like having a beard or facial hair. Like he just kind of brought that back and then added a mullet. And yeah, he looks about the same, which is what's crazy about Ewan, is that he also hasn't aged that much since the prequels. He has clearly since like The Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
But like the style and the look that they're going for in Attack of the Clones and what they did in this one is very, very similar. So you like the flashbacks. I thought the flashbacks were more or less fine. We can talk about like the Order 66 ones a little bit later when we talk about like Reva and everything, because that's an interesting aspect of this episode and a really big moment. I'm trying to think of everything that like happened in the beginning. Vader specifically was a big part of this, and seeing him have that interaction with Reva at the beginning. I feel like we kind of got as close to original trilogy Vader than we have in a while, even with like Rogue One kind of being involved with Vader in the past 5 or 6 years. It seems like we're seeing that transition of Vader going from what he is now of just like, he does not care. He's going to go after Obi-Wan. It's like he's using the Force and using his power to show intimidation. And then you see in the original trilogy, he seems a little bit more calm, collected. And it kind of reminds me of that line in A New Hope where he says to Obi-Wan, you know, when I left you, I was but the learner, but now I am the master. I feel like this series is using this opportunity to build on those kind of lines of dialogue.
I agree, because I think I mentioned this last week. I love how they're blending Revenge of the Sith Anakin and original trilogy Vader, because to me, this Vader doesn't seem as calm, as collected as he was in the original trilogy. We see him yell. We saw that in chapter 4. He seems a lot more aggressive, although I do have some questions about his whole motivations. But besides that, Vader does feel like a younger Vader, which I like. Throughout this whole series, I got the vibes. I disagree with your point that he feels less like, that he feels more like original trilogy Vader than he did in Rogue One. Rogue One, he felt like original trilogy Vader. He doesn't talk much. Besides the one scene with Krennic, he has one line of dialogue. He's not like, he just doesn't seem to care as much. And when here, he's talking a lot more. He's a lot more emotional, especially when he was fighting Obi-Wan in Chapter 3. So I love the blend of Anakin and OT Vader into a more youthful, emotional Vader.
It definitely was more emotional in this one. I mean, did you see the part where he like dragged the ship down? Like it's one of those things where
Rise of Skywalker callback.
Or was it a Starkiller callback, Force Unleashed? You know, I feel like no one can complain about these overpowered moments. Like there's a lot of people who are like, oh, Starkiller's OP, and he absolutely is because of him dragging like a ship down. But now I feel like the same thing.
Well, there's a difference between a transport and a damn Star Destroyer.
You're not wrong. You're not wrong at all. I'm just saying that it was like similar levels to me of like using the Force and showing the magnitude of it. I mean, this is the first time I think we've seen Vader, maybe in the movie, not the movies, because the movies you don't get to see him do too much because it was the 70s and 80s. But yeah, and something live action like this where he just uses ridiculous power. I thought it was a bit of a cheap and cop out of the other transport immediately right
behind. That was weird. Because there was Obi-Wan's plan from the beginning to say, let's have two transports, let's just put all of them on the back transport and bait Vader. Yeah. Was that the plan?
And he's not going to sense me 10 yards behind it, or the fact that if you remember, they're all like getting prepared to leave and everything, but like the top of the bunker is like closed off where the ship can't fly out. And then like Leia fixes it or something like that, and she's in the vent, and then everything, like the door's open and they can fly out. But instead of like immediately being in the ship and ready to go, they're all waiting for the vents to open, and then they get into the ships and then they fly out. I'm like, I thought that you would be in the ships ready to go at a moment's notice, just in case. You'd be safer in the ship than you would out of it. But
not a bad point. But going back to Vader, this was my biggest complaint about the episode. And I have two big complaints, a lot of minor complaints, but mostly praise. So my biggest complaint is, I don't know what Vader's entire plan here was. It is implied at the end of the episode that he knew Reva would betray him, and in a way, he was kind of just using her as bait. My question is, why? Why not Vader himself just go down to Jabim, siege the, I don't know what it called, the base, and then force Obi-Wan to surrender himself, and then you kill him, fight him again, and then you kill everyone else? Why have Reva do it? I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't think he knew that she was going to betray him the whole time, because I think he had some faith and trust in her. I mean, he said that Obi-Wan was wise to use you against me, and I mean, even that, like that, maybe. the way she like betrayed him, I guess, was kind of odd to me. Like, she chose after the fact that he's done dealing with the ship and everyone's gone.
When he's just standing there.
Yeah, she's like, now I'm going to attack. I'm like, really? That's the big idea.
I love their fight, though. The way Vader is just toying with Reva. Although I love how powerful they make Vader, but now in comparison, it just makes him in the original trilogy incredibly nerfed.
Yeah.
Like, why doesn't he just do the force blocking with Luke? When Luke jumps off in a attempted suicide in The Empire Strikes Back, why doesn't he just lift him up? I mean, he can pull a transport. He can certainly lift a kid. So
I don't know how to defend it.
To me, it's not almost... like it doesn't bother me. It makes Vader in the original trilogy seem far more nerfed, especially in A New Hope when he's fighting Obi-Wan.
Of course. Yeah, and that's what's weird is that it feels like A New Hope compared to Rogue One. It feels a little bit more natural, that transition from Rogue One Vader to A New Hope, even though he had the hallway scene. It's not like we really expected him to do that to Kenobi. But then you see this, and it's what, only 9 years difference between this and A New Hope?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I guess feasibly it makes sense that he would be nerfed by that point, or like older and just kind of like doing less. But I'm kind of with you where, this is kind of where my issue with like some of the live action stuff or just new Star Wars content in general is, it doesn't feel like it is coherent with what you would actually see in the movies, and especially lining up with stuff from the past. It's like, you expect me to believe that Vader will do all this in the Kenobi series, but he wouldn't do it to the ship that's leaving in Rogue One. He couldn't pull that thing back. I guess it's because they're in space, so it's a little different. But still, there's some things in this that, like, to me, the best way I would describe this series is it's a good fan film. It's a really, really big budget
film. I hate when people say fan film. I hate it.
But it is. I mean,
no, it's not. It's like, by their argument, anything that's not episodes 1 through 6 is a fan film. Like, I don't agree with that.
Well, the special editions are definitely fan films, okay? I will give you that, all right? George Lucas is a fan of his own films. But no, what I mean by fan film is, like I said, we talked about it a little bit, but like the quality of the production, the way it looks. But for me, the fan film isn't, it's a fan film because it's not made by Lucas or it's a subpar quality of content. For me, I think of it as a fan film as in, this is exactly what I would think Star Wars Reddit would make. A Star Wars show, like
Star Wars Reddit would not have Reva in this show, and they probably wouldn't have Leia either.
Aside from Reva, but I mean, hang on, let's not act like a certain section of people would be upset with Reva, a black female, being killed by this strong white man. I'm playing still. I think that like the prequel memes and all that stuff, like this is what you would expect from it. Felt like fan service. We said this going in that it was going to be nothing but fan service. and that's what this was. It was. No, it was. Yes, it was. How no, is just this
because,
not like
just because there's service? Fights, just because there's fights that are entertaining, that doesn't mean it's complete fan service. Like, there's a lot of character stuff in this episode that is not fan service.
Like what?
Like when Obi-Wan's talking to Reva, and the fact that Reva was able to still knows who Anakin was, or the fact that Vader let Reva live. Or it's I'm not 100% sure, but it's implied that Vader just remembers killing or stabbing Reva when she was
young. He remembers stabbing her, but it's crazy that she survives two fucking stab wounds to the stomach. But to me, the fan service that was silly. But to me, the fan service isn't like Reva, like the character moment. That's not what I think of. I think of simply seeing Anakin slaughter younglings again, like going back to Order 66. All the orders. It looked awful.
And that's
the hallway. Why is the Jedi Temple only hallways in these Order 66 flashbacks?
What else are they going to show?
Literally anywhere else.
It's hallways. It's chamber rooms.
Fucking, it's a temple. They have libraries. They have fucking statues.
They showed that in the first episode.
Yeah, you're right. In the first episode, but this one looked exactly like what was it? Was it season two? I think it was season two of The Mandalorian, right? Maybe it was Book of Boba because it's all the same, where they have Grogu being captured by the Book of Boba. Okay, whenever the stormtroopers are shooting in the hallway, it looked like the same hallway from that one. Can we get some new sets? Can we upgrade the production a little bit? To me,
the reason – now, I'm not a big fan of the way a lot of this episode was filmed, but to me, the reason why that specific flashback was so close up and kind of shaky cam – was, for one, that's kind of just Reva's perspective in that scene. And two, I don't think they want great cinematography when showing children dying. Like, even George Lucas didn't do that. So I'm not going to expect some nice wide shots of Anakin mowing down younglings.
Well, all they had to do, like, when you talk about, especially with the cinematography, like, Lucas, he had, like, a shot of Anakin's lightsaber igniting, and then you see the kid step back. If you really wanted to do because I hate the shaky cam. I get a headache watching it. It is completely awful. Like, I've lost a lot of, not respect for Deborah Chow, but, like just my expectations from her are, like, completely different than I ever thought. But, like, for me, to fix a simple, like, shaky cam or even the Reva flashbacks is... have her hiding behind one of the couches inside the council chamber, and you just see flashes of lights and screams in the background, and all you just see is her face and her reaction or her crying, covering her ears. Something simple like that would just completely explain the scene. But even with the shaky cam, they literally show Anakin take a fucking swing, and then you see a kid go flying. I mean, he killed the brat. Like, I'm sure a certain Star Wars YouTuber is hard about this scene. A lot of people really wanted to see Anakin just slaughtering younglings, and good for them.
We saw Anakin swing his lightsaber, and then shots of younglings like flying and falling down. We didn't actively see like a youngling getting stabbed or getting their head shot
because Reva got stabbed from a point from a POV.
Not like a great angle. We didn't actually see her chest and the lightsaber go through it.
But how much do you really need? I mean, again, I'm saying, compare this to difference. Revenge of the Sith. Revenge of the Sith is simple. Hey, you know what's about to happen. And this is, we're going to show you a bit of it. We're just going to show you a little bit. Like, you're teasing me here. And it's a little bit more than a tease.
I think there's a big difference between showing it kind of off camera and having a wide angle of something happening. I think it makes a big difference in terms of the scene.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I didn't want a wide angle of the kids dying. I just didn't want to see the kids die in general. I knew what happened.
I disagree. You can't just say Reva is traumatized from this event. You have to show it. There's a big difference. Especially something.
Because she was in the. Was she not in the beginning?
Yeah, but we didn't see the moment. We didn't get something from her perspective. And her actually fearing the situation and feeling that dread of the whole situation. There's a big difference between just seeing her walk in a hallway and then the scene cuts away and her actually witnessing kids dying and her seeing Anakin and her like reaction to getting stabbed. I think there's a big difference. That's an important character moment. You can't just, in certain scenarios, there's obvious exceptions, but usually when there's something that really affects a character, you want to see that event. That was the reason. Now, a lot of people don't like it. That is the reason why they showed the flashbacks of Luke and Kylo in the hut in The Last Jedi. So you can see what Luke was experiencing. And we saw it from Kylo's perspective as well. Because if he just told it, if he just explained what happened, I think it would have been much worse. The backlash, at least. But it's important to see what happens. I think that's very important. And I think it's a big reason why a lot of people don't like Luke in The Last Jedi, because we don't actively see, besides that one moment, we don't see what else happened. What happened right afterwards? Did he attempt to go back and save Ben Solo? I think it's fundamental storytelling, at least to me, that you need to show certain things happening instead of saying, oh, this happened to me.
You're not wrong, because I definitely remember not liking Luke's arc in The Last Jedi, but seeing the like, for me, it wasn't just that Luke tried to kill him, it was the flashbacks where I was like, okay, like, I disagree with him doing this in general, but the flashbacks are kind of where I'm like, okay, this is where I disagree. Not with Luke as a character, Luke betraying, like, you know, what he used to stand for and coming back. It's just Luke making that mistake in the first place. So the flashbacks do add a huge part to that story. Without him, the movie would be drastically different. And I can kind of see that with this series as well. I just feel like, especially with the first episode and the opening scene, to me, that is enough to carry Reva's arc. And like, it's not like it was unpredictable, this episode or this series in general. Like, we all had a feeling that Reva was a youngling. She survived this. Yeah. But I'm kind of happy that Obi-Wan even addressed the issue that a lot of us had with episode two of, like, how does she know? And he was like, you were there. Like, that's how you know. That stuff all makes sense to me. For me, a lot of it is just, and I guess this is my issue with the episode overall, or even the series, is conceptually not the worst thing, execution-wise.
I can agree. I think there's a lot of moments that are well-executed and a lot that aren't. I think going back to, like, that flashback in particular, I think the best, because there's not really another scenario in Star Wars that I can think of off the top of my head, where a part of a character's backstory is, oh, it's like Palpatine's return, right? You know, we just don't know what happened. They didn't even say what happened, so that's even worse. Yeah. But it's like in a lot of shows, and this happened in the last season of Game of Thrones, it's stuff that really bugs me. It's when, spoilers for Game of Thrones, whoever hasn't watched it, when Jon Snow is telling the rest of his family that he's a Targaryen, and they just cut away. We don't see the rest of their family's reaction him finding out his lineage.
Yeah.
And it doesn't feel as impactful. So I think if Reva just said, oh, I was there, and we get a tease of the beginning of the scene in chapter one, and they don't actually show what happens, I think that it would just fall flat. Now, the execution may have made it fall flat for a lot of people, including yourself. And I don't think it was wonderfully done, but I think it got the job done for me.
For me, a lot of this episode didn't...
And that's fair.
It didn't hit with me emotionally, I guess. Like, what did you think of Tala? Like, her death, the robot's death? Because there's like two sections to this episode. There's the flashbacks and the relationship with Obi-Wan and Vader and Anakin. Mm-hmm. And then there's the kind of present day stuff. You know, you have Tala, you have Obi-Wan with the path, and they're all trying to escape the Empire. It's kind of like your movie Last Jedi in a way. You know, she sets up all the stormtroopers, and they're all about to go into the base, and there's a big wall they got to get past, and Obi-Wan's like, no, I'm going to be a Jedi, and I'm going to stand up to him and all that.
He didn't really, though. He ran away, and then he went out, and then went back in. So, what you're saying, but...
I think it was weird that Reva was like, yeah, bring him out, like, capture him, and then she kind of, like, lets him go back in. Like, I feel like Vader would have been like, why would you do that? And also, if not Vader, half the people around her would be like, Grand Inquisitor, I'm not trying to be, you know, telling you how to do your job, but that's the guy we're here for. You know, you could have just kept him here.
If I was a stormtrooper, I would not question an Inquisitor. I feel like they'd kill me.
Oh, you definitely wouldn't have questioned it, but internally, I mean, if Vader would have been like, what happened? I would have spoken. I'd be like, Lord Vader, she let him go. It's her fault.
No, that was silly, but I mean, we don't know what the stormtroopers were thinking. And I think at that point, Vader realized that Reva was probably going to turn on him.
Yeah, that's a good point. But Tala's death, I thought it was sad that she passed away. I mean, they gave her a little bit of a character moment before, explaining why she was doing the things she was doing, why she betrayed the Empire. But her death was slightly corny. Like, this person made a good point of that Kenobi could have easily used the Force to push the stormtroopers back again. And I think... I would disagree with this if it wasn't like something he did immediately before, like whenever I think the gates opened or something like that, and they started like fighting, he pushed them all away. He pushed all the stormtroopers back, if not a good chunk of them, not all of them, but like mainly the middle ones. And then when I was watching this earlier, my friend pointed out that it literally was kind of like the original trilogy. If you have like 40 stormtroopers shooting in the small space, and Kenobi was blocking a lot of it, but yeah, like they were missing everyone. Like it was impossible for them to not hit something.
As time passes, Star Wars somehow manages to make stormtroopers look even more pathetic than they did before.
Yeah, it almost seemed intentional in the original trilogy, because at the end of the A New Hope, they were like, oh, we put a tracking device on them, we got those idiots good. And now it's just like no confirmation. And no, it was and it was pretty bad.
You know what's another strange thing? It baffles me how this should be a major mission. If Darth Vader is going on a mission, it should be very important. They should have way more troops there than a single platoon of like 40 stormtroopers. I don't know. I feel like when in Star Wars Rebels at the end of season 3, when they found the Rebel base, they sent a whole damn fleet. Thrawn was there with his Star Destroyer. There was like 4 other Star Destroyers, 2 I forgot the names, but the types of cruisers that prevent you from going into hyperspace. Like, they sent a whole fleet there. Here they send 1 Star Destroyer and like 2 transports down of 40 stormtroopers to invade this base. Of course, it's in stuff like that is where this show to me really limits the scope. Not so much the cinematography in a lot of ways. Like, yeah, the cinematography or the shaky cam I thought was really poor, but just because a set is small, that doesn't necessarily make the whole show feel small. And The Mandalorian, I thought the scope was great. And yeah, it was smaller than the movies, but I never felt limited by the volume. In stuff like this, where I'm just thinking there is no reason why there shouldn't be more of a fleet here. I was like, okay, that makes this show feel small to me.
Or for it to look a little bit more realistic. I mean, that's where my problem with the production
It looks fine.
It looks cheesy. It looks so cheesy.
It's a cave. What would you expect from a base of people that are hiding from the Empire? It's like totally expected that they hide in something.
You're not wrong. I'm not expecting the cave to look nice. I want it to look a little bit more believable. Like, it's not on a set. Like, it's not something I've seen in multiple other films. Or like, it looks like a limited by the volume. Like, even the stormtroopers, like when they were set up, I weirdly wish I could put a finger on it, but when I look at them and then I see the movies, even from the 70s and 80s, it's like they just don't look as realistic. They don't look authentic almost to me. And I don't know if it's a digital camera. I don't know if them not using actual film or if it's just lighting.
What the Disney Plus films have been using? I've never questioned that. I'm just curious.
The Disney Plus shows, they're all probably digital camera work because of the volume and everything that they're using. I know for the sequels, I don't know about Rian Johnson, but I know JJ was big on
I think all five films used film, I believe.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense to me. What do you think about this? Is a common thing I've seen before. And thank you very much, Zach, for the super chat. He says, I'm disappointed in the generic sounding music. A lot of people have been complaining about the soundtrack in the series.
I agree in some ways. I think there's just not a lot of memorable music. I mean, The Mandalorian had the Mandalorian theme. Mm-hmm. But the Mandalorian didn't have original tracks either. It barely used the Force theme, and that was it. I just think there's not much music that really stands out here. And when it comes to Star Wars music, we have the highest of expectations of anything. Every Star Wars fan across the board expects the music to be top notch because that's what we're used to. All 9 of the main movies have fantastic music. So I think we have our expectations really high. And the fact that we can't really point to a singular like piece, a singular theme of, you know, they made a big deal about John Williams composing Obi-Wan's theme in the show. I have no clue what Obi-Wan's theme is.
I don't either.
Is it the title crawl? Like when it shows? I don't know. I mean, the music doesn't bother me too much. It's servicing its job. I think an expectation a lot of fans had is that the Mandalorian in the Book of Boba Fett feels separate from the Skywalker saga. So it makes a little more sense that the music's a little bit more original and doesn't tie in as much. But for a lot of fans, this show feels like the real Star Wars episode 3.5. It really, a conceptual story point perspective, it really feels like Star Wars episode 3.5. and just we're not getting that same level of music, especially in the trailers. They started blasting Duel of the Fates and Battle of the Heroes. We mm-hmm. haven't gotten either one here, so
the trailer music is better than the music in the actual show. And I mean, like you said, like our expectations are really high. And I what's funny is that when I go into these shows or the movies, I never really think about the music. I'm never like, oh, I hope that there's like very, very good stuff coming from the music, or John Williams is going to do amazing this time around. It's like, no, I just it's Star Wars music. Like, I kind of know what to expect. It's going to be a lot of operatics. It's going to be stuff that's classical. And even the Book of Boba Fett, despite us not being big fans of the show, I love the theme song to the Book of Boba. Oh, yeah. I literally hum that to myself all the time. But yeah, there's not much memorable coming from the Kenobi series, but for me, that's not a complaint. Like that, like people are putting in the comment section that like probably me, because it wouldn't surprise me that it's like being nitpicky. Like I think disliking the music for it not being all that memorable is also nitpicky. But also, I mean, it's Star Wars. Like the entire aspect of us being fans is nitpicking shit.
I think good music though is memorable. If you don't remember it, then I don't think it's good. I think those two kind of go hand in hand. Not it completely. Like, you can have a fine score and have it not be memorable, but...
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, with this, is to me, it doesn't make it bad not remembering it. Like, I remember how bad the cinematography is. That's why I think it's bad. I don't think, like, the acting isn't awful in the series, so I don't really think of it that much. But, like, even, in the, like, for me, what sticks out is, like, the writing. Like, I really dislike a lot of the dialogue scenes, even when Obi-Wan is like, no, he's not coming for you, he's coming for me, like stuff like that. Where I'm like, ah, come on, like we can write a little bit better dialogue.
I don't know. I haven't really questioned any of the dialogue. Maybe it's just my brain is trained not to question dialogue in Star Wars.
That's a very good point.
The bar is already set really low.
They're paying homage to George Lucas with bad dialogue. They're like, we're just gonna write it as basic as we can. No one will ever talk like this in the real world, and you can't criticize it because it's George Lucas Star Wars, you know. I wonder what George would think about this. I wonder really what George Lucas thinks about this entire series. If he's like, this is great and I'm glad they brought it back, or if he's like, I would have done better. I would have done so much better.
You know, I'm really curious, because there's a big tell with George Lucas about what he cares about or what he's interested in when it comes to the new Star Wars. You know, we've seen behind the scenes clips of him on the set of The Mandalorian, on the set of The Book of Boba Fett. He was on the set of Rogue One and Solo. Not once is there a single image of him on set of any of the sequels. Not once. So I wonder if they brought George Lucas on set for this. And if they didn't, I think that says a lot about what George Lucas's thoughts on the series are.
Huh. That's a good point. I didn't even think about it like that. I just feel like the guy doesn't care. But this something this big, I feel like he would care about.
See, this is an interesting debate a lot of people have. What's more important to the story of Star Wars, the sequel trilogy or this show? A lot of people would argue this show, and I'd completely disagree. I think a sequel trilogy of a continuation with Han, Luke, and Leia is far more important than what happens between episode 3 and 4.
You're absolutely right, because this is what's weird for me about this series, is that the sequel trilogy, at least from conceptually, it was, okay, what are people nostalgic for in Star Wars? It's the original trilogy. No one. I'm sorry.
That's what J.J. Abrams said.
Yeah, well, that's what the consensus was. 2015. You look at the comments, even when they were like, "Hey, we're doing the Force for Change thing." People were like, "Oh, good. Like, we're done with the prequels and all that shit," because the prequels were shit when they came out. And now that we're having this resurgence of prequel love, this episode and this show clearly is love. It's a love letter to the prequels by prequel fans. They're being like, "Hey, this is what you guys have wanted. Here it is." And I'm saying that it was bad then, and it's still bad now. Like this is a great comment. That they had a chance to redeem Ewan and Hayden cringe acting, instead they took the cheap route instead of just keeping it going. Kept going. I disagree with the last aspect of it, but I do think that like when you look at Hayden's acting in the prequels, it was subpar, at least in the Attack of the Clones, and you can say it was the writing and the dialogue, and the what we had in this, the flashbacks. I don't really think it was the cheap route. I thought it was, I don't like the flashbacks of it being Padawan Anakin, but I do understand of trying to build that connection that we were lacking in the original movies, the prequel movies, that relationship that we had. I like developing that slightly more in this, but at the same time, it takes me back to this of, was this the best you could do?
And I really don't think in terms of just the whole story.
The whole story, but also just with Hayden coming back and Ewan and all this, it was like, to me, this is the peak. Episode 5 is the peak, clearly. I mean, we'll see with episode 6. It's the last one coming out next week. Episode 5 is not your favorite?
No, I thought I'm surprised. I thought the first episode was almost a 10 out of 10. I love almost everything about the first episode besides the forest chase. So to me, that's been the peak. And I think this episode goes second. This and episode 3 are kind of close. Then episode 2, and then a gigantic drop off in episode 4.
I feel like people are going to say this is the peak just because of the flashbacks and the fights and all that stuff. To me, this is the stuff where I look at this and I'm like, you're telling me this is the best you guys can do. This is the best we got for Star Wars.
This is how my brain is wired in a lot of ways. I think if you just gave me a story treatment of this series, like not so much even a script, just an outline of the whole series, I think I'd be really happy with it, what I'm reading. Maybe not so much what happened in chapter 4. And of course, what happens in the last episode could change. But for the most part, I'm just really happy with a lot of what they've done conceptually. And I think a lot of these stuff, execution-wise, I think they've done a great job. I think the first 3 episodes mostly did a great job on executing their stories. I think chapter 4 was just a bad story and they executed it even worse. And this episode had a lot of moments that I really liked and didn't like. So in my mind, if there's a fundamental story there and they do a decent job executing it, I can forgive it more than a story that I think is just crap and they do a great job executing it, if that makes sense. So I think this episode does have a lot to be desired in terms of certain moments with execution, especially the cinematography, certain shots that do make the Star Wars universe feel smaller, certain little moments in the writing that I question a lot. But overall, I think the reason why I'm happier with this episode, even though I seem to have a decent amount of complaints, is because the underlying story I just still really like. And then the last episode could change a lot. Depends on what happens. The fact that Reva potentially knows about Luke is concerning. What happens there, I'm interested, but still concerning. So overall, I'm satisfied. I agree with you in a lot of ways that this show could have done a lot of stuff better, especially with chapter 4 and chapter 2 and this chapter as well. But just from a story perspective, I just liked this episode a lot. And there was a lot of things I was just like, oh, they could have done that better. They could have done that better. That's just how my brain is wired.
Yeah, I like the way you put that because when I think about this episode conceptually, there are, of course, things that story-wise I'm not a fan of. But like I said earlier, a lot of it is the execution. And for me, it is the cinematography. It's the writing. It is the weird choices of not de-aging Hayden that really takes me out and makes it easier for me to kind of nitpick and be like, this looks bad. This just looks really bad. And this seems very cheap. And it's like the comment said earlier, it seems like the easy way out of, okay, we're going to make a Kenobi series. People want Hayden and Ewan back. What can we do? Well, let's have flashbacks of Hayden and Ewan training. Oh my God, they're going to love it. How do we work that into the story? Well, we'll just say it's been the same thing over and over again.
So do you think they went into this story saying, we want a flashback. How can we incorporate that into the story? Or do you think they had a story and they're like, ooh, a flashback could really service what we're trying to do?
Oh, they 110% were like, we want a flashback.
Oh, I disagree.
Like, that's my problem with the series is that a lot of it just looks from the outside looking in. Because, look at like Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi. They did not make choices. And this is completely different as well. But like even with the prequels, George Lucas intentionally did not make decisions that were, oh, the fans are going to love this. A lot of it was, well, this is what's integral to the story. There's a lot of things in this series that are just clearly, hey, fans are going to fucking love this. And that's completely fine. But I knew that going in, so it's almost not fair to me to criticize it for doing what it was made to do.
Oh, I disagree. The prequels may not have done things to make fans happy as a whole, but they did tons of things to make little kids happy. That's the whole point of Jar Jar. You think Jar Jar's stepping in poop and watching an animal shit right in front of him was integral to the story? No, that was to make kids happy. And in this series, part of it, like, I don't know. I disagree. I don't think simply showing Vader being cool is for the fans. I think in the context of the story, it makes sense. In a way, I think at the end of Rogue One, that was a bit more for the fans because it wasn't necessary for the story, but it still worked. In this series, I don't know, if a transport's flying away, I just, like, it makes sense to me that that's something that Vader would try and do, pull it back. And when he was fighting Reva, especially when he was blocking it with the Force, and then he just simply took the lightsaber from her, gave one back, and then beat him again, that just, to me, that seems like something Vader would do. Now, up until the point where he just stabs her and leaves her there, that is not something Vader would do. But everything up until that point, I thought that was, I didn't get the feeling that, oh, they're doing this just to make fans happy. Like, there's a lot of moments in The Rise of Skywalker and The Force Awakens that was like, yeah, they're just doing that, you know, to make fans happy. Like, the whole point of the Starkiller base was to just make fans happy. So, in this series, I just, yeah, there's some moments like that, but I haven't gotten a lot of that. I mean, I need to think specifically about certain moments about, and if I feel it, like, feel that. And I don't think overall I do.
Yeah, see, I'm on the opposite side of the fence with, like, even the battle with Reva and Vader. Like, a lot of that wasn't, to me, like, any internalization of character. It was, oh, she's going to try to kill him, and look how cool, because they don't say a fucking word to each other. She just shows up and is like, ah, and he's like,
they talk to each other right before they start fighting.
He says one thing, which is, it was wise of him to use you against me, and then they keep fighting, more accurately, she fights him, and he's, like, swinging and missing it, and he's just doing his own little thing, and it's cool, but it doesn't add anything to their dynamic, their relationship, his feelings towards her. What adds to it is at the end when he is like, he really didn't think I remembered you, and he does, it feels like a cruel joke, in my opinion, where, and not in a bad way, or being facetiously, I'm saying it's a cruel joke on Reva, that he is like, I'm gonna stab you in the stomach the same way I stabbed you before, you little brat. And I'm just baffled that she lived both times. Poor fucking Qui-Gon Jinn. Two people have been stabbed three times in this series, and he is the only motherfucker who has died.
Han Solo died.
Oh, he did get... But no, he would have lived if he didn't fall off the cliff. Yes, no, he would have lived if he didn't fall off the cliff. No, he would have. You cannot tell me... That this 9-year-old girl can survive a gut stomach pinching... lightsaber wound.
Listen,
and Han Solo can't. That man was surviving off of liquor and weed.
Ever since Revenge of the Sith came out, it has been a standard now that dark side users can survive stupid shit through pure hatred. Anakin did it. Darth Maul was the worst offender of all.
Absolutely,
this. He got cut in half. So if that is allowed, I can forgive people getting stabbed in the chest. Even freaking what's his name, Kylo in Rise of Skywalker, right before Rey force healed him after she stabbed him in the chest, he was just chilling there. He was just laying down, like he didn't look like he was about to die. What? He didn't look like he was about to die.
Oh, okay. I thought he was going to die in that scene.
Maybe, but I didn't get the implication that, like, he just looked like he was lying there, like, just like mentally shaken by the fact that his mother just died, not that he was actually dying. That's just the way I've seen it. I saw the scene, but I agree with you. I wish Lucasfilm or Star Wars as a whole didn't go down this route, that people can survive stupid shit through anger and hatred. But that's the precedent that's been set, and it's been consistent in a lot of ways since. The only time it wasn't consistent was technically Palpatine, because he just survived because of whatever. I wouldn't say he survived through pure hatred, but every other time. That was a stupid. With Palpatine, it was even dumber. But here, it's like, okay, I guess these people can survive through pure hatred.
Grievous Reborn made a super chat earlier. I appreciate it, saying it was so dumb they put Palpatine's speech to the galaxy that was referenced in The Last Jedi in Fortnite. I think he's talking about the Rise of Skywalker. Yeah, that was really dumb.
That's another thing. That's another thing that supports my argument that I said before. You know, everyone is shaken. Oh, Palpatine's back. Oh no, and we don't see his damn message in the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. It does make sense wanting to see the reaction, wanting to see the message. In this case, the flashback of Reva or Reva, like, being traumatized by Anakin and everything. I don't know. I guess it isn't the flashback aspect. It's just the way it looks for me that it just takes me out of it and makes me dislike it. And that's my own problem.
I understand that in some ways. I think there are certain shots that, to me, really feel that small budget. I agree with you when the stormtroopers are lining up and trying to break down the door. That I felt the small budget.
God, it took five fucking minutes for them to get set up too. What's taking so long?
I think the last episode is going to change a lot of people's minds, because I did a rewatch. Remember how on was it Disney Plus Day they announced, like, they showed this, like, little behind the scenes reel, where it was just Ewan and Deborah Chow talking, and they showed concept art.
Yeah, I got my fucking Instagram taken down. I remember very well.
I have this because I used it in a thumbnail. In one of those shots, it showed an image of Obi-Wan and Vader fighting on a lava planet.
Yeah, on Mustafar, it looked like.
So maybe they go back to Mustafar. I don't know. But I think I think that could potentially be fan service.
Oh, come on. Don't tell me it could be. That's fucking fan service.
It all depends on the story, Star Wars.
No, it's not story. If I see Padme come back in the next episode and Hayden's like, and they kiss or something, that is fan service.
I do not agree with that.
Because you,
I think if Palpatine showed up and started electrocuting Obi-Wan, that would be fan service.
Oh yeah, I mean yeah, that'd be fucking something.
I just see things differently. Because something is cool, I don't know. Like I think your assumption is you see something cool, you assume it's fan service until proven otherwise. I'm the opposite. I shouldn't say I'm the opposite. I see something, I'm like, okay, this could go either way, and then I make an assessment afterwards.
Well, see, that's where you're wrong, is that it wasn't cool. That's why I thought it was fan service. Oh, this sucks. To me, what wasn't cool is seeing the flashback of Anakin stabbing the youngling in the stomach and all that. I was like, I didn't need that.
I don't think it's supposed to be cool. Like, I'm not,
they
like,
made it seem cool.
No, they didn't.
They made it seem tragic. Look, eyes. It wasn't tragic. Tragic was him looking out the window in Revenge of the Sith with a tear coming down his eye and everything.
Okay, it's as tragic as a few seconds could be. Tragic for him. Tragic for Reva. Yeah, I'm sorry, but if you're someone who watches like the Order 66 scene in Revenge of the Sith and watches this scene, and you're like, man, that's really cool. The way all those Jedi are getting butchered, I think something's wrong with you. That shouldn't be your reaction. You should say, wow, this is
emotional. We're not going to start drama here, Goldman. I don't need you calling out 99% of the fandom like
that. All right, then they can come out me. An exception, I might contradict myself, is the Vader hallway scene in Rogue One is pretty cool. So maybe I contradicted myself, but there is a difference. I'm going to defend my point.
Him bringing down the ship is not a necessary. That was cool.
The difference is the context of the scene. What are you supposed to be feeling? I think in the Rogue One scene with Vader, I don't think you're supposed to be feeling like, oh no, all these rebels are all dying. I think the purpose of that scene is like, wow, Vader is a badass. When Vader's holding the transport, that is like, wow, we're seeing Vader's power. When Jedi are getting killed, you're supposed to feel like, oh man, like this sucks. All these characters I don't know their names of, they're dying. Man, that sucks. So I know their names, but most people don't. So
their names in the prequels when they came out. Thanks, George. I'm supposed to care about Ki-Adi Mundi dying. I don't even know him.
So I think the scenes do matter. The flashback with Reva, at least the way I see it, is supposed to be somewhat tragic, and we're supposed to empathize with Reva and the trauma she went through. So I don't think the goal of that was to be like, wow, this was so cool. You know, who's calling me? Oh, my friend's calling me. He's going to want to talk about Obi-Wan. I'll tell him later.
Put him on speaker.
I'm going to say doing the Tatooine show right now.
Last little bit before we move on from the Kenobi stuff. We do need to talk about the implications. And thank you this is an awesome name, by the way. Lego My Django for the $20 you're chasing. Ironic how Luke and Leia were made to be the balance, but in Kenobi, they just point at Luke and keep their focus on Leia, and all because Kenobi had to save Leia for five parts, Yoda would be disappointed. I understand the sentiment. I kind of disagree about
I disagree.
It not being balanced, just because I feel like it actually is kind of unique having this series being about him saving Leia and giving her kind of a very good quality of life where she goes back to her family and the people that care about her. But also in the meantime, his main goal was to protect Luke. I mean, that was the mission, right? Bail Organa was going to protect Leia and then he would protect Luke. I mean, that was kind of the agreement. So I think Yoda would be definitely disappointed, but he's also chilling on Dagobah. So what the hell does he even know?
I think, you know, what do they mean by balance? In terms of just character presence in the franchise, they seem pretty balanced. But let's be real, in terms of just the Force and their balance in the Force, Luke is just, Leia's like at 1%, Luke's at like 99%.
Yeah.
We saw Leia use the Force in The Last Jedi when she did the Mary Poppins thing, which almost everyone hates. And the other time we saw it was a flashback in Rise of Skywalker where we don't actually see her face besides one shot where she goes like this and lifts the helmet. So And even in this show, like, we haven't blatantly seen her use the Force. And they are both equally as important. And, like, to me, it's more realistic that before the events of A New Hope, Leia would be a lot more active in terms of the grand story than Luke would be. Because Luke's supposed to be doing nothing. I guess, like, some minor things could happen to him as a person. But in terms of grand story, he should be doing almost absolutely nothing. Leia, you know, she became a leader in the rebellion. So did I think that she would be in this series and that she'd play a crucial part? No, but it's not like I don't feel like there's so much Leia favoritism, because I mean, she's in the series. Not Leia's allowed to be in her own series, and like Luke is allowed to be.
This episode, she didn't really have a lot of like spotlights or highlights in this episode. But hang on, a small nitpick I forgot about that I probably was going to put in my review is I absolutely hate the tonal shift. It literally reminds me of Ben Burtt in the Phantom Menace screening with Lucas, where he goes, in a span of about 90 seconds, you go from lamenting the death to a hero. But right after Tala dies doing a suicide bombing, literally the guy from Marvel, whatever the fuck his name is like they're all like, oh, I can't believe, like, Obi-Wan's like regretting her death, and then in the background I hear, Leia, how are you coming along? I'm almost ready. And he's like, she said she's almost ready. Like, I'm sorry, you can't have it be like, oh, I'm supposed to take this death seriously, and then 30 seconds later this comedic thing while we're literally like, not we as an audience, but literally Kenobi is mourning her death. That is the stuff that makes me feel like this series is corny, executed poorly, and just tonally all over the place. Welcome, my Django. Thank you. Remember when death mattered in Star Wars? What did you even think about the Grand Inquisitor coming back? Homeboy got stabbed in the gut, literally walks on stage without a fucking beat, and is like, ha ha.
I love that. I absolutely loved it. Oh my God, I loved it. For one, I guess we know the Grand Inquisitor is going to survive. I saw a funny meme where, you know, I forgot what he said exactly, but he's like, the power of hatred can do wonderful things. I saw a funny meme where it's like, the power of being in a show that takes place 5 years from now can do wonderful things. So it's like, that's really why he's alive. I was relieved, actually. I was nervous that they just wouldn't say anything. And then in a comic or a book, they would explain, oh, he's alive. Or we know he's alive,
they didn't
how
go
he's
the
alive.
Clone route. I'm really glad they didn't have him come back and be like, oh, I'm a clone.
So it's just
he just kind of survived. But at the same time, it's like it's back to the stabbing people in the stomach thing. It's like, okay, what kills people? Because if I chopped off his head, he'd still come back and he'd be like, oh, the will to hate.
I think it's silly that characters can get stabbed and then not die. But I don't hate that. What I hate is when a character has been written to die and then in another story, they are now alive. Darth Maul, Boba Fett, Palpatine, those are the three most glaring examples. If God forbid Mace Windu ever comes back, that would be a huge offender. But when the Grand Inquisitor died in Chapter 2, I do not believe for a second that was written with the intention of him actually being dead.
Oh,
so
100%.
To me, I agree somewhat with the sentiment when death mattered in Star Wars, because I do think they're kind of going away from that. But I don't think there's any offenders of that in this series, because I don't think characters have been written to die and then have come back to life.
Yeah, I don't think, and this is very true, she was. I don't know why I accidentally clicked on that comment, though, but shout out to you. if they intentionally write a character to die and they kind of like shift away from that, that's upsetting, because we all have seen Rebels. We know how the Grand Inquisitor dies. So him dying in this series would have been an issue, and a lot of people were up in the arms about that. I don't care that he got stabbed, I guess, necessarily. I would have preferred him to get stabbed and him look at her and like be like, this hurts, but I'm still alive. this isn't anything. Like, that would have been crazy to me. Him just coming back and walking on stage like I'm supposed to.
I don't know, I love it. I was just like, it was a big, like, the whole point of that was supposed to be a huge fuck you to Reva. Just like, oh man, you just got played hard by Vader. And seeing the Grand Inquisitor just walk out is like, yeah. You know, fuck you too. Like, you got played by me as well.
Was stabbing her in the stomach the second time in her life. It's been 10 years. He's going to stab her in the same spot.
Yes, that specific action I did not like. But the context around that scene, I really did.
Yeah. Well, next thing we know, Mace Windu is going
to
come back.
Well, you know what's going to happen to me if that happens, so.
Oh, he'll do it for the dark side, and I'll be the one who's like, I love it, because it works. No,
I'm gonna say that's pure fan service.
Absolutely was. Absolutely would be. All right. Well, do you have anything left for Kenobi? We only have two more topics that are kind of like quick hitters since it's just me and you today. Any final thoughts on Kenobi? Reva found out that Luke was his son or something like that. So that's going to be the next thing. And I guarantee you comment. That's going to be season two. That's going to be season two right there.
No. Sorry. Just the thought of a season two just triggers me.
I wonder why that is.
Because that would be pure fan service.
Oh, no, come on. You can't tell me that fan service for this first season isn't.
It's not. This season has a compelling story. Just because, like, this story was conceived to be one story. And if they change, remember the reports, they actually changed things potentially to make a second season. Yeah. That's fan service. That's fan service.
Well, that's money service.
Right, and I have another complaint, and it's about Bail Organa. The fact that he would send that message to Obi-Wan was incredibly reckless. Incredibly reckless.
That's a good point, too.
He's sending a transmission. He says, we can't let Darth Vader find out about the boy on Tatooine with Owen. It's like, how more specific could you possibly be? Yeah. I understand Bail wanting to send a message in the first place. He hasn't heard about his missing daughter in days. He hasn't heard from the person who's supposed to be saving his daughter in days. So I understand the fatherly instinct to want to send a message and be like, yo, what's up? But he should be as vague as you can be. They should have been using code words like, have you found person Y? Because person X could potentially be in danger. Like, we've seen transmissions intercepted in Star Wars all the time. And Bail got incredibly lucky that Reva found the transponder. Is that what it's called? That Reva found it, because we know nothing is bad's gonna happen to these characters. Now Reva might find Luke, do something. I don't know. We're gonna see how that plays
out. She'll spare him.
That's a sensitive topic. With the two sensitive topics for me, the secrecy that Anakin is Darth Vader, and the secrecy that Darth Vader has kids. So I think they did a fine job explaining how Reva knows that Anakin is Darth Vader. She didn't just figure it out. She just knows. She saw Anakin, and that's not her fault. She didn't like go out of her way to figure it out. There was no secret like leaks or whatever. Like, she just figured it out. If more people find out that Darth Vader has kids, I mean, she's gonna have to find out. It's not entirely clear, like, because the message that she saw was a little broken. She heard boy Tatooine and Owen. Oh, and of course,
we all know.
I mean, she's gonna go there, and
yeah,
she's probably. I think you're right. I think, because what is Reva going to do? Let's speculate here. If Reva goes there to, they're clearly making Reva to be a bit of a sympathetic character. They've set that up. You don't show someone's tragic backstory like that in Star Wars, and have them just die evil. That's just not what Star Wars does. If Reva goes and like finds Luke, that's probably going to happen. She's going to spare him. It doesn't seem like that's an interesting question. You know, there's the notion, right? And this is why I think Rebels did fantastically when Maul even like remotely hinted that he had an idea of what Obi-Wan was doing on Tatooine. Obi-Wan killed him, but he was like evil. He was a threat.
Mm-hmm.
If Obi-Wan realizes that Reva's not this pure evil person, and Reva finds out that Darth Vader has a son, would he kill her?
I don't know. I mean, that's not really a Jedi way, but it's also not the Jedi way to deceive and, like, you know, manipulate people. And it seems like that's kind of what he did with her in this episode of, like,
no, he didn't.
You know, we'll work together, help you out. You can kill him, and he kind of leads her to die.
I don't think that was. I disagree with that, because that was Reva's plan all along, and Obi-Wan's just like, yeah, I'll help you,
which was shocking. That's one of my favorite aspects about this episode, is that it was a bit of a twist to me that she was planning to kill Vader the whole time. Like, that's a goal of hers.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
At first I was like, why does Reva have such a random obsession with Obi-Wan? It just seems strange. But given this story, I mean, it makes sense to me. Like, they've posed a lot of questions throughout these first four chapters that could have potentially had answers I really didn't like. All the answers I've gotten, I've been fine with. I'm trying to think if there's anything that's like.
What about this specific thing that's kind of a twist for some people?
Yeah.
You gotta get shout out to Lego My Django. Leia doesn't remember Obi-Wan and the Jedi, and he's called some bullshit Disney Force power, Force mind wipe. Because I think the only criticism there is that when she hears about Ben Kenobi and Obi-Wan and A New Hope, she doesn't really show all that much of like, it's kind of like remembering, I guess, kind of like Obi-Wan did with R2-D2.
Let's be, there are two, maybe three potential instances of where Leia would have realistically shown any emotion about Obi-Wan. The first is in the message that she gave to R2. Now you could argue simply that, you know, she's in a rush. You know, the Tanavi 4 is getting boarded. You know, hey, Obi-Wan, you helped me out.
Oh, yeah, that has plenty of emotion to me, actually. I'm completely, even with her knowing Obi-Wan, I don't think anything about that message should ever be changed. It's perfect.
Yeah, so to me, that's fine. The second one is when Luke says Ben Kenobi is here to rescue you, and she says, Ben Kenobi? At first, that was a plot hole, because how would she know who Ben Kenobi is? Now she knows. She knew who Ben Kenobi was.
Mm-hmm.
And the third instance is when they're escaping the Death Star and Luke sees
him get cut in half.
Yes. Now, I'm going to make an argument here that Leia's kind of, I don't want to say heartless, but after she sees her home planet destroyed, she not once shows any sadness about it.
Yeah.
She, like, Luke sobbing over Obi-Wan dying, someone he really just got to know over the past day. And Leia's like, it's okay, it's okay. Leia saw her whole home planet be destroyed, both her parents die, and she's just chilling.
Well, because the cousin died. That's why she was okay with it.
Douchebag. The younger Lunga, you mean.
No, that's a good one.
Yeah, because he doesn't respect the importance of adoption and found family. So, of course, that's a younger Lunga.
yeah, well... You know how family works, yeah. Good fucking joke.
So could you have argued, if someone mattered a lot to you, say you went on a trip once and you got lost. Okay, well, it's a little more extreme in this case. But we're assuming that after the season ends, Leia's not going to see Obi-Wan ever again until episode 4. I think she would be like, oh, shucks, he died. I don't think realistically she would be like devastated about it. She didn't really know.
It's 9 years. How well does she even know or remember the guy? God, the way he ages from now to A New Hope, she probably doesn't even think it's him.
And obviously, realistically, we were never shown this because the story didn't exist back then. But at some point, Leia was probably sad about it. Sad enough to where she named her son Ben. But I don't think realistically she's going to be like devastated and start crying on the floor. She's like, oh man, like, oh. It's kind of like one of those videos when you watch a dog die. It's like, oh man, that really sucks. But a day from now, you'll be fine.
Watch videos of dogs dying, you asshole? What the hell?
No, it's like, okay, it's a movie where a dog dies. Like, you'll cry.
Yeah,
you'll be upset about it. Like, I don't know why I did this. I was recently watching the second Jurassic World movie. Not the greatest movie. But there's like the scene where they're leaving the island and there's the dinosaur that's like on the dock crying and then gets consumed by the volcano. Like, I was like, oh man, that's sad. That was a well done scene. That was really sad. 10 minutes later, I was fine. Like, to me, that's how I would picture a Leia reaction to Obi-Wan dying. Like, oh, that guy, like, he was so nice. Oh, wait, we gotta win a war here. Let's get back to work.
So this man and many people died to save me.
It's another one of those things. Of course, they've recontextualized the events of the original trilogy. I 100% believe it was George Lucas's intention to write that scene that Leia has no clue who Obi-Wan is. That's not the case anymore. Of all the things they could retcon or recontextualize in the original trilogy, that I'm fine with, because it just doesn't really change much of the story.
Good point. Well, that's kind of all I have to say about Kenobi, this part 5. I think it's better than part 2 and part 4. I'm not sure where
you're really that harsh on series. Like, I think it's
good. Do you really want to know? Do you really
yes,
want
I do.
To know?
I'm going to pick. We're going to say like a 4.
I think five was going to be my like initial thought. Like, just it's five. Five is average to me. Like seven is like you're passing. You know, you're good. B is like, oh, this is a pretty good series. A is like, this is damn near perfect. Like, great series. And then you know, ten is like, you know, perfection. We're in the opposite day, but no. In absolute general, I would say this series is slightly below average. It's boring, man. It's just boring. One of my favorite MMA podcast guys, like he was talking about it, and he was like, he's like, you know, I was a big fan of like Star Wars, like when it came out. He's like, I watched the prequels when they came out in like the '90s, and I disliked those. He's like, I watched this Kenobi series. He's like, I watched the first three episodes, and he's like, I just don't give a fuck. And I'm just like, well, damn, like, yeah. And this is guy, his opinions I respect. And
I disagree with you. I think the show has rewatchability, at least for me. And I don't remember if you brought this up before the stream or at the beginning, but you said you don't think it has any rewatchability. I disagree. No. Like, I think right now, if I had nothing to do, I could sit down and watch these five episodes in a row.
Oh, God. Well, maybe you can be in the theaters next Wednesday when they drop them all on the
I might take theaters. It off if I can find
them. If I can do that, I will, and come back and tell you guys if it's better or not. Lego My Django says, one plot hole that Luke in A New Hope knows of Ben Kenobi. Wouldn't that mean he would have interacted with him at least once? I would think so. Like that doesn't matter much to me, but like I would think so in like a loose context. I never thought much about it. I thought he just knew of him because even Owen kind of is like that crazy old wizard. Like, you know, they've talked about him before.
The way I've always pictured it, and this is kind of a little baffling to me that people like question this. Luke to me has clearly met Obi-Wan before episode four. That was the way I kind of see it is like when you have that creepy neighbor or like the weird uncle. It's like, oh, it's that guy again. Just be careful. Like, he might say hi.
Yeah,
just
smile and wave.
Yeah, like he's aware. They've met. They might have had a small talk conversation once. They've never actually gotten to know each other. So, I don't picture Obi-Wan having a deep emotional moment with Luke. They might see each other if Reva shows up at the Lara's homestead. Obi-Wan's going to be there, and Luke's going to be aware of Obi-Wan. Now you can bring up, oh, like if Obi-Wan saves Luke from Reva, it's like Luke doesn't bring that up in New Hope. Fine, I guess that's a little silly, realistically, sure, but I can get over it. Here's another question. I think it's safe to say that Reva is gonna find Luke and they're gonna meet in some way. Luke can't know too much about the Force, what a Jedi is, what a Sith is. I don't know. Like, if Luke sees Reva like float something, use the Force, is that like really bad, like continuity breaking for you?
I don't want it personally. Yeah, I like the aspect of. I mean, that's what makes the original trilogy work so well, is that you as an audience member are in the same position as Luke. You are learning about this world. You are learning about the Force. He doesn't know anything. And that's why you have Obi-Wan, you know, kind of like the wizard of the thing, of being like, oh, the Force would give the Jedi his powers. It surrounds us, binds us, penetrates us, and all that. Like, that's what you need. So him kind of even having a loose understanding of that before episode four, New Hope, I think really, it's not that it it breaks believability of his character and just that story. The context surrounding the original trilogy has completely changed. What, if you do that for me?
What if I agree? I think Force stuff is off limits. But what if he sees Obi-Wan just like wield lightsaber for
no
a few seconds?
No lightsabers. He needs because same thing. Your father's lightsaber. And
it's pulls never,
it out. He's like, holy shit, okay. What is this?
Okay, so let me write a scenario here. Luke's 10 years old. Reva has a lightsaber. He's like threatening. She has the lightsaber up to Uncle Owen's neck. Obi-Wan shows up and is like, stop. And she's like, okay, and they leave. Obviously something a little bit more emotional than that. So Luke saw some crazy lady holding a red glow stick up to someone's neck. The next time he sees something like that is 9 years later. He doesn't know what a lightsaber is. He's 10 years old. Does he really understand specifically what Reva is doing? For one, he's probably traumatized. So when Obi-Wan hands Luke a hilt, is he like, oh, this is exactly what that crazy lady had? I just don't see that. I think the force is a little different because you're seeing someone like lift an object. I think just simply seeing a glow stick when you're freaking out as a 10-year-old, to me, that's not. I prefer not to see it, but I can see that happening. People are going to freak out, and I'm going to have to make a video defending it. So I'm kind of preparing myself mentally.
Yeah, well, you can jump through those mental gymnastics, and I will cheer you on from afar because I will not be participating in that. If she pulls out a lightsaber and shows him, it's going to be annoying. It's like, why? Like, it doesn't all have to be so connected. Like, I understand the connections. It doesn't have. She does not have to know that Luke is fucking Vader's kid. She doesn't even have to live. As far as
that's why I'm very concerned.
I'm terrified. If they do that, I just will continue to lose respect for the storytelling and the narrative.
She's going to find out. They set it up. She's going
to
find
out. Well, she's going to find out. I just don't want him to meet her. That's what I don't want.
Okay. I think I can get on board with that.
All right. Well, that's all I got on Kenobi. We'll talk more about it with hopefully Palpatine's and Lunga next week when they're both here and we can all review the entire series as a whole. Because this next one's it. Next one is it. But thankfully, Dave Filoni is here to give us some more entertainment. Surprisingly, there is a Tales of the Jedi animated series.
We spent an hour and 15 minutes talking about Obi-Wan. Now we have to talk about this stuff. It's like, all right, I'll give my thoughts.
Yeah, just a quick rundown, because I mean, I'm not going to be, by the time we get Palpatine's and Lunga in here, it'll be far, far too far gone to even remember. But the quick little Tales of the Jedi thing, because it's only 6 episodes. 3 of them are about my boy Count Dooku as a Jedi, and 3 of them are about Ahsoka Tano. One of them, she is, and a spoiler, if you guys don't want to know this, I guess, I got to see the episode at Celebration. She's a baby. Just a baby. What's her species called? Tor something?
Togruta.
Togruta?
Yes.
Weird name. Well, the Togrutas are out there, and they know about the Force and crap, and she survives an adventure with her parents and her ma. Good times. But what did you think about Tales of the Jedi as a concept? It's our boy Dave Filoni making another comeback with animation.
So there's 3 aspects I want to discuss. There's going to be Ahsoka episodes. There's going to be Dooku episodes. And the fact that they're just limiting it. They said this is a series focusing on prequel era Jedi. Yep. The Ahsoka stories, I just don't care about. It's like, okay, you know, they're about to do an Ahsoka show. It's like, okay, I guess we need to see more of animated Ahsoka. Like, I don't care at all about seeing her before she was a Jedi. I think there was one about her, like, training with Anakin. That could be nice. It's like, okay. I just don't care. The Count Dooku stuff sounds fantastic. I cannot wait to see those Count Dooku episodes. Because that's something we haven't seen before. Count Dooku as a Jedi. Young Qui-Gon and young Mace Windu. People think I hate Mace Windu. I don't. I just don't want him to come back to life. I love conceptually just everything about seeing a young Count Dooku as a Jedi with his Padawan. I love that. I love it. Now, the third point, the fact that they're limiting the series to just being about prequel era Jedi infuriates me. It's just nonsense. And I tweeted this like right when the announcement happened, and people triggered me so hard. They're like, oh, they're doing the prequels because the prequels is the best Star Wars era. It's the most interesting Star Wars era. Fine. If you believe that, more power to you. But why? Why limit yourself to that? Do you not want to see a cool story with Luke? Like what about a story with Luke immediately after Return of the Jedi? That could be
Ben Solo.
Like, or with a young, cool you know, I'm a sequel shill. A story with him and Ben Solo, or a story with Rey after the Rise of Skywalker, or Rey doing something, or go way back, do something with the High Republic, or do something with the Old Republic, or do something with Ahsoka do after something
that is literally anything else in what we've already been doing for the past.
Or if they really want to do something with Ahsoka, how about show her right after like Rebels, not the epilogue, like after her fight with Vader, like when she's on Malachor.
Oh, yeah.
Like why not cool. do something there? What is she up to? Why wasn't she there during the original trilogy? She knew. She knew Kanan.
You can't do that though because your fucking boy Ezra took her from Malachor. Remember, he pulled her away.
But she went back to that point in time.
Oh, that's when she like walks away and like the little fade away. Okay, now you're talking about it. Yeah.
So for two years, this is interesting. For 2 years in the chronology, Kanan Jarrus was alive, and Ahsoka knew how he was going to die because she saw it when Ezra could have pulled him through. So I don't know, do something there. What was Ahsoka up to during the original trilogy? When did Ahsoka met Luke? they botched that in Book of Boba Fett and didn't show us. So, but when they meet,
that'd be a good one to show up and not live action and animation. Seeing an animated Luke like that too would be pretty cool.
Awesome. Or what about like the moment just when Ahsoka finds out that Anakin had kids? You know, Luke Skywalker became like a galactic, I don't want to say hero, but everyone knew. He's like, wow, Luke Skywalker blew up the Death Star. Like, that was a thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, Ahsoka must have heard that. Wow, Luke Skywalker? I knew a Skywalker once. Like,
I know you're dead.
Or what if they did actually a story where they what if they did a 20-minute episode where they really fleshed out what happened the night Luke or Kylo destroyed Luke's temple? Provide some context. Stop. What do you mean?
I'm telling you, stop thinking that Lucasfilm is actually going to tell you good quality stories here.
They have.
They told The Mandalorian, The Last Jedi. Yeah, but they go for like a lot of these like kind of bare minimum stories. Like for me, the bare minimum stuff is Ahsoka again. Like you're telling me we get enough. Like we've seen her so many times. Like it's
the Clone Wars,
it's Rebels. That's not bare minimum to me though. That's something that like is like incredibly intriguing because
I agree.
He's a fallen Jedi turned into a Sith. But you spend half the series on Ahsoka, who already has the entirety of the Clone Wars series, who is a pivotal character in Rebels and is now getting her own series, and she's in Mandalorian, and she's in Book of Boba Fett. I mean, is she going to show up in Episode 6 of fucking Kenobi now? Like, come on! No. Like, I would like, no, she won't. But
she's going to show up in Bad Batch.
Oh no! Oh, Dale, she probably will. That's probably my problem. It's just she's in everything, so I'm a little disappointed. This series is going to be 3 episodes of Ahsoka and 3 episodes of Count Dooku. But at the same time, the animation, man, looks phenomenal. It is absolutely gorgeous in this. It's better than even what they did in Bad Batch, which was already impressive. Yeah. So I'm really curious if they're going to do a one season of this thing. Because hear me out. What do you think if they do one season of this? Reception's very good because you see what they have. What happened with Visions? They did a season of that. They're already planning a second season. I'd be surprised if they just do one season of Tales of the Jedi. What do you think if they did one season on prequel Jedi like Ahsoka, like Dooku, and then they do another season maybe on sequel stuff, and they're going to annoy the shit out of me with this, and they're going to do, you know, 2 episodes of Ahsoka, 2 episodes of Ben Solo, 2 episodes of Luke, and like that era, and then they do another season that's all High Republic Jedi. Would that help you feel better about it?
100%. 100%. 100%.
Okay, well, I'll talk to Dave.
There is no way you can put Ben Solo on my TV in any way and have me not be upset or have me not be ecstatic.
Really? I'll send you some Rule 34 comic books.
Okay, so. Besides porn, you freak.
Just saying.
You got me there.
All right. Shout out to Grievous Reborn paying the bills over here. He's saying it's a bit disappointing it's not about the old Legend comics. It would be the perfect way to introduce the Sith race to the normie Star Wars audience.
No. This series is about Obi-Wan Kenobi. I don't want to know about the Sith race.
I thought he was talking about Tales of the Jedi for a second because you can do some old stories.
My memory just skipped this conversation we've been having for the past 10 minutes. Like, I don't know.
Right, we can.
I apologize, Grievous Reborn. I hate that name. I apologize to you though.
I love the name, buddy. I love the name. Did you played Fallen Order, right? Please tell me you have.
Of course I have. We've talked about this.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have some friends who haven't. I think Lunga still hasn't even finished the damn thing.
Well, Lunga's an old man.
He's old, yeah. Motherfucker can't figure out the controls. But Jedi Survivor, they showed a trailer for it. Let's see if we can play it, if my fucking internet would even allow me to. We're doing 2 people. I thought this looked fine, man. I thought this looked really cool.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they're like going 5 years in the future though. Like this is really close to Kenobi now, isn't it? Like same time.
I don't think that means anything. Solo took place right around Kenobi. You don't see Han Solo.
Yeah, you're right. Still, like a lot of people thought the Senator guy was the Grand Inquisitor, but I mean, it looks great. But like who the fuck is that the Senator guy right there? Is that an Inquisitor?
No, I think it's someone else. That's some random dude. I don't think it's an Inquisitor. I think they're done with the Inquisitors. I mean, could more Inquisitors show up? Yes, because there's some that are still alive. But I don't know. I just don't think. I think it would be boring to tell another story with the Inquisitors.
Yeah, that's a good point. What about Vader? Would you want Vader in this at all?
No. I mean, if he shows up, like, I don't know, just to me, I want to learn more about Cal Kestis and have it be more like self-contained. I liked Vader's appearance at the end of Fallen Order because it made sense. They were in Fortress Inquisitorius.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's like having Vader show up in season 3 and 4 of Rebels. Just not necessary. Like they don't Vader and Cal Kestis don't have some sort of connection. Like, yeah, he's a Jedi. Vader would like to hunt down Jedi. But besides that, there's just I feel like it seems a little much for Vader to just hunt down one random Jedi. I feel like Vader has more important things to do.
That he does.
Like, oh, we got bots in the chat.
Oh, welcome back, guys. The real Sith have returned. I don't know. I'm kind of curious what's going to happen to Mira in this game, though, because I feel like she
Marin?
Has like a lot. Yeah.
You said Mira.
Oh, I thought it said Mirren. That's her name, right?
Marin, yes.
Marin, or yeah, I'm saying Mirren. It's Marin. Sorry.
Marin.
Yes, it's fucking Italian or something like that. Marin is kind of hopefully being the sequel, but
yes.
I can't tell if she was the girl in the tank or what's happening with her.
That was a dude in the tank.
That was a dude?
I thought it was a dude. You can see, like, there's no boobs.
Doesn't mean it's not
women.
A dude.
Women don't have shoulders like that.
Don't assume gender anymore, Goldman. I am assuming Star Wars.
I would love to meet a woman with shoulders like that because she could kick both of our asses if that person exists. Those are like Gina Carano shoulders.
You took the word out of my mouth. I was literally about to say, well, you know, there's a certain female.
99.9% of women do not have those kinds of shoulders. Those are big shoulders.
That's a very, very good point. Yes, you sexist pig.
It's not sexist.
Well, I guess it's a dude in there. What happened to Mirren? What happened to Mirren?
Yeah, we didn't see Sayre. It's a teaser. It's a teaser.
Yeah, that's true. We didn't see her. I think I wouldn't be surprised if she was dead by this point. I feel like she should die in this game. I feel like that's going to be a big emotional loss.
I am such a big Mirren fan. I'm a Cal Mirren shipper. I want them to get together and have babies.
She is the goth girlfriend that we've always wanted since we were in middle school.
Cal
should get one.
Ever since they held hands in on Dathomir, I was like, yes, like they can't kill her. I want her. What if I want them to do something like unique? I think can she become a Jedi? Can she? Is the Dathomirian magic, like the Night Sister magic, is that like just an altercation on the Force and they just use it in a different way? Why can't she become a Force user or a user? I mean, even if she's not a Force user, she can do some pretty cool shit. Have her become a Jedi.
Yeah. She is a Force user because she uses the magic. I don't know. I don't want her to become a Jedi because what I think is cool is if we play this game and she is like a playable character. Like you get like 4 or 5 missions with her and you can explore with her, but she doesn't even use a lightsaber. Like that would be cool to me.
That would be cool. She doesn't need to become a Jedi, but it's like it would be an interesting story for me, not something I want. I just want to play as her regardless. I want a story about her and Cal. Like the first story is about Cal, then this story should be about both of them. I don't know, if they do a third game, then it could be about, I don't know, some random person. But I want them to both be the focus, not just Cal.
I think they both should be, but I agree with this comment that I think that like Sayre should die in the sequel, not because I dislike the character. I just think because you know me, I'm a big fan of people Jedi dying before episode 4, and I think her and what's his name, Grease. I mean, he doesn't need to die, but like, I mean, you saw the ship; it crashed. I mean, there's something impactful that's happening to these characters in this one. And I was such a big fan of the first game. I'm just really curious on what's going to happen in the second one. But even people use the title Jedi Survivor. Survivor singular. So does that mean Sayre dies and Mirren dies? Or is it just Cal? Is he the survivor? Is that it?
I think you're reading too much into that.
It's not even a I'm just offering you what the internet has fed me.
The internet is dumb.
I know we're on it. That's where we make our living from it, unfortunately. Nightlight's lightsaber was enough you sleep me. I love how Last Jedi is still prevalent in these comments.
Because it's such a great movie.
It's the forever debate. I don't know. I'm scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you for Fallen? Is it
Survivor?
it's aged like fine. It's been 5 years, which is crazy to think about. And I'm so excited for the future of Star Wars and the movies that we have no idea that are coming out.
The Fallen Order came out 2.5 years ago.
They should make a movie of a Cal. You know who should play him? Cameron Monaghan. Monaghan, whatever the fuck his name is. The guy who literally plays him.
Yeah. When it comes to castings, I don't care. As long as Brie Larson plays Revan.
Oh, yeah. It came out in 2019.
Yeah. And it came out in November of 2019 or October.
Yeah. I think I'm lagging on you.
2.5 years. No. Yeah, 2.5 years.
No, my thing's mess.
What's going on?
No.
Am I lagging?
That's okay.
Hello? We may be having technical difficulties, people.
I think either I'm or you're lagging. One of us is far behind.
All right, chat. If you're listening to this, who's lagging?
Like, I feel like I'll say something, and like 3 seconds later, he'll reply. I'm like, oh, there we are. This poor Zach. Anyways. Can you hear me, Goldman? Are you all right?
I think you're there. I hear you, yes. You sound fine. We're just not in sync.
Because I can always see you. Yeah, it's definitely me. It's always got to be me. Dutastic's saying it's me.
They're saying it's you, thank God.
Yeah, lucky you. And someone's like, it seems okay to me. All right, well, as long as it's me. Because if it's me, I know how to fix it. But you seem fine on my end. Like, I can see you moving and everything. That's what matters.
I hear you fine.
Yeah, you can't see shit. If my thing was lacking, there'd be a big issue. Oh man. I'm always having bad Wi-Fi connections. I'm terribly sorry about that. But anyways, no, I'm excited for Fallen Order. I do think that this will probably be the second to last game in the series. I think they'll do a trilogy to round it out to have like a perfect thing, and I think EA is desperate for more games with Star Wars. But in general, I'm hoping we get like two different playable characters, because this game is too good to not have Muren as a playable character. And just the uniqueness to her having like the dark side and like the magic powers, that'd be so cool to see like played out.
Agreed. Are we still not in sync?
Are you alive? Are you there? No.
All right.
I guess. Yeah, communications. All
right.
Well, I don't know. I think I can see you moving. I don't know if you can hear me well.
Okay. I think. Okay. Well, I think we should just end the stream then. Can you see my private chats? It's never happened before.
Yeah. Call it a day. If Goldman can hear me, no, everything's okay.
I can hear you.
I can see you. Yeah, I can hear you and see you fine. I don't think you definitely can't see me, but you can hear me late, which is sad. But yes. Anyways, yeah, we'll end the stream here if you guys can hear me. As long as you can hear me. Oh my god. All right. Thanks for tuning in, guys. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We'll see you all next time. Oh fuck, what that one means.